Hey everybody. Good to be with you. You've caught me in a good mood, which is not hard to do. My name is Fred Davis. I'm the author of Beyond Recovery. I'm also the editor of the website Awakening Clarity. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time with you here today to talk about standing as awareness. I've just come out of a clarity session with a friend of mine. She woke up a couple of weeks ago and she's doing wonderfully well. So pleased for her. And I see a lot, actually, a lot of my folks are doing really well right now. In other words, when I say they're doing really well, I mean, what I'm talking about is that they've not just had a momentary awakening with me in one of these direct pointing sessions, but that they remain awake. And, but there's, you know, but there's oscillation within that awakeness. So they're not forgetting who they are, but they're noticing that there's can be clarity or cloudiness to the awakeness that they now know themselves to be. She and I had a conversation of that we enjoyed very much and that she felt like was very much on point and important. And I thought, you know, gee, I've had this conversation in very similar ways with a lot of people. And maybe I could just do a video here for a whole lot of other people because there are people waking up without me. Who are in all over the place, I'm sure, who are experiencing oscillation. And then there are people that have not yet had an awakening, and they can still benefit from this conversation too, I think. But you know, when we talk about standing as awareness, and we're already awareness, and we're already standing as awareness in the sense that we can't stand any as anything other than awareness, because there is nothing else. So that we're always already standing as awareness. But within that, there can be, within the unit, so to speak, there can be the sense that we're not standing as awareness. There can be the sense that and we can be the sense that I'm not awareness, which is the general sense on our planet. Most people believe that they are this little thing. They don't think they're this, they believe they're this. And awakening is coming to understand. The initial awakening is coming to understand, oh, I'm not this, I'm this. And then further down the road, if we're diligent and lucky, we can come to realize that I'm not just this. Hell, I am this after all. That I'm the whole thing. I'm not just one side of the other. See, when we got one side of the other, where are we? If I think I'm Fred, I'm right here. And if I think I'm the vastness, I'm right over here. So those are two expressions of duality. So when I can recognize I'm the whole thing, woo, then I now I'm talking about non-duality. So what we're talking about here is working with the sense that, gee, I've had an awakening and I know what I am. I know I'm the vastness. But I still feel like that I'm this little guy that knows itself to be the vastness. And that's chiefly going to be because there's a lot of body identification, and there's always going to be some identification with the body, and that's fine. If you and I were in India and it was the 1940s or something, and we saw this, we're in Tiruvannamalai, and we had to see this guy on a hill stumbling up a hill, we could say, hey, Ramana. And he'd turn around. Ramana Maharshi would turn around. And because he would have still identified with that body. He would know, in a sense, that he would know what you were talking about. He would know what you wanted. He would not think himself to be that body exclusively, but he would know himself to still be that body also. And that's what we're talking about here, is that when we're still knowing ourselves to be, when there's still the felt sense of being our bodies, and we feel like we're moving in and out of cloudiness and clarity. Oh, God Almighty, I see very clearly I am the vastness. I am the when the more is great freedom there, a lot of joy there, a lot of pleasure there. And then now, oh, something terrible's happened or something great has happened for that matter. Whatever it is, it's drawn me back into the dream. And now I'm cloudy. And I think when I say I'm cloudy, I mean that I think I'm now Fred. I think I'm this little guy and that I'm exclusively this little guy. Not just that I'm also this little guy, but that I'm exclusively this little guy. When that happens, the freedom will, you will note, the freedom disappears. And the joy, the lightness, the joy, the, all of that. You know, there can be still be excitement, it can be happiness, there can be fun, there can be beauty, there can be all kinds of things in within that experience of humanness, and there's nothing wrong with that experience of humanness. We're not trying to overcome it, we're not trying to avoid it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to embrace it within a larger experience, within a larger being, so that we're not exclusively the little guy. When we're standing as awareness, we're standing as beingness itself. We're standing as the full being and not the human being. We do this, we get an easy way to do this is to begin to look through the body instead of as the body. This is really much simpler than you think. If you back up just a little bit, I mean, you're watching me on this video, and it feels like you are watching me over there on that video. But back up just a little bit, and you know, and it's okay to use these relative pointers. So back up and see what's looking at me. And I don't mean like any cosmic who am I and all that. That's all wonderful. We use that here, but we're not using it here now. Is there not a sense of like aliveness in your head? Just, I mean, isn't that what's looking? I mean, it's just, there's a sense of, you know, how do you know you're looking at this? I mean, there's a sense of aliveness. There's a sense of there might be a little tingling feeling behind your eyes usually. So pretend for the moment that you're this tingling feeling. Not asking you to believe any of this. We'll go into that later. And really believing it something one way or the other doesn't help us a hell of a lot anyway. So believe what you will, but for the moment, allow yourself to think, oh, I am this alive feeling. I am this tingling. I'm not, and as this alive feeling, as this tingling, I'm looking through the body. That'll change your, if you do this, it'll change your experience instantly. Because if you can be this alive feeling and be looking through the body, now, I mean, instantly in my experience right here, if I look through this body, then I notice that there, first thing I notice is that there is a body and that it is included in my picture. It is included in my panorama, okay? So I've got this body and it's included it. So the body has now become another object among objects. And I can't see itself, so I don't see my, there's up here, there's a sense of spaciousness, but with this within the spaciousness that's looking through the body, now all of a sudden there is this, which the body includes. See, there may still be a separation, a sense of separation between what's looking through and this, but there is, at least there's a division, there's an immediate depersonalization, or, and I don't mean this in a clinical way, but there's an immediate gap. See, what we have is a witness and a witnessed, and that's all I'm trying to do is get you to this relative witness state right now. We can do that by looking through the body. If you're looking through the body and not as the body, you can do this at the drop of a hat. And when you do, this is what they know is known as the mystical, magical witness state, in essence. There are degrees on it. But for the moment, there's a very practical level. So that you can now, you can, when you're standing, so you're standing now as the witness, you're standing as awareness, you're standing as the alive presence. Do you see? May still be division, may still be me over here witnessing that, and that's okay for now, but it will immediately change your experience. Because now this body immediately ceases to be what? Ceases to be the center of the universe, doesn't it? If I'm now witnessing just through this body, does this body's locale have anything to do with the center of the universe? I don't think it does. It may have something to do with a point of view. It may still be a valid point of view, but it's not the center of the universe, because the center of the universe back here. Center of the universe somewhere back here, and it's a nebulous thing. It's not anything that's concrete. So we this center of the universe now looking out, and the body is included as another object. And when it is, do you notice how much lighter that gets? Because if this is another object to the witness, do you see? If the body is another object to the witness, guess what? It isn't. It isn't me. And if it's not me, does the does what does the do the events which occur to the body, are they now as important as they were? I don't think they are. No way they are. That's my little dog Willie over here. He's squeaking a toy. Willie does not confuse himself with a line of direct thinking. Willie just lives life as a beer. And that's what we're doing, is we're learning how to be. Because if I'm back here and I'm witnessing this body, what kind of influence do I have on the body? Do I have a lot of influence on that body? Do I have any influence on that body at all? Do I? Or am I, does now, does the word, so you may have read these in non-dual books, does choiceless awareness ring a bell to you? When I'm back here, if I'm in the witness state, even if I am the unit playing the game of I am the witness state, I'm still in the witness state, am I not? Experientially. See, the game or not game, all of that is in our heads. What we've done is we've actually used our experience to move beyond thinking. Do you see how swift that was? We come back here, and when we become the presence, when we become the presence that's behind the eyes, that's all we're having to do. Is this is not a big leap. This is not a big mystical move. This is something that anybody watching this video can do right now. And if you do it, it will provide you with a tremendous spiritual shift. It just will. There's no way for it not to. Not if you do it authentically. When I say that authentically, it means really go with it. Kind of just pull back. What do you see? Does it not? Now, how many worlds, I mean, how many things are in the world if you're witnessing it? If you're witnessing it from back there, do you actually even know what the world is? I mean, it's a world. We see that as, because that's what we call it. We name it a world. Okay, now I got a world. I got one thing, got a world. Okay. So I'm still in duality because I'm over here and I've got one thing that's a world, but I'm at a very high level of duality, just that fast. So I'm at a very high level of duality. There's me, and there over here is the witness, and there is the witnessed. There is the world. So I got one thing. But I don't know what that world is yet, do I? Because I can't know what that world is until I name something. You see? They're like in my room on a practical level. I got bookcases over here, and I got a couple of lamps. Got some pictures on the wall. More books over here. Cat down there. Dog down there. A lot of division. See what that mind does? It's just like a French chef's knife. I got one world, and then I introduce my mind to it. And as soon as I do, that mind, like that French chef's knife on a cutting board, goes chop, 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 chop. Because that's why it's fun. That's what it does. It's its function, and it chops things up. Now I got lamps and books. See, I've gone one world. Tao Te Ching says we got the one thing, then the two things birth the 10,000 things. 10,000 things is the way the Tao Te Ching talks about the universe, all the manifestation. So we got the one thing, chop, 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 chop. Now I still got the one thing, but now I've got divisions within the one thing. And I've got the one thing. I got dog, cat, bookcases, pictures, lamps. And guess what? I like this now. Now we got something else coming up, which is preference, opinion. I like this lamp and I'm not crazy about that lamp. I'm sure this lamp should be in here. I'm not so sure about that one. Do you hear this? So here's our French. See, our French chef's knife, just like this. It's on this edge, this cutting edge, and then it turns over. And when it turns over, it grows a mouth, and then it's got opinions. It likes that lamp. It don't like that one so much. The cat's being good because Dickens is down here just being quiet, good, calm. And the little dog, he ain't being so hot. He's running down with a squeak toy while I'm trying to do this valuable video on non-duality, see? So I know what I'm doing and the dog doesn't know what I'm doing. He may know what I'm doing, but he's not on board with me. He doesn't think that's the important. He thinks I should be on the floor. Maybe I should. I'd probably be doing about as much good on the floor as I am up here cutting this video. But we hope we keep on hoping and plugging. So as we stand as awareness, our experience changes. As we stand as awareness, we notice that things are indeed different in our interaction with things. If we can move into that now, take another leap of authenticity, and this is not quite so easy, but this is what waking up helps us to do, is to begin to actually act in the world according to the way that we see things when we stand as awareness. We're no longer act. In other words, if things will come up like compassion. I am more likely to be compassionate to me than I am to a stranger. If I am standing as awareness, there are no strangers. There's only me. Compassion will naturally arise from that. See how that works? Let's look at forgiveness. So if I'm standing as awareness, who have I got to forgive? There's not anybody else but me. So I might as well just go ahead and forgive me, don't you think? In other words, there's nobody else out there. If I'm standing as awareness, if I'm choiceless awareness and I'm not actually running this show, then what is? We don't know, but everything is just working the only way that it apparently can. It's all hooked together. We can see that. So there's no point in forgiveness because everything is doing its very best at every moment. I may not like it. I may not like it at all, but it's doing what it's doing. So this argument, we've got another word for this argument with the world. It's called suffering. See? In the absence of this, I got this. Man, this is great. This is wonderful. When I'm standing as awareness here and I look about it, so you can do this. You can, if you can't, you know, we're not trying to get rid of the ego or anything, but I wanted to tell you, you can suspend the personality for a moment. I'm not telling you to get rid of it, you can suspend it. So suspend the personality. You can have yourself back here momentarily. Suspend the personality. I'm standing as awareness. I'm as the little aliveness that's in my head. And when I'm standing as that and not as the little person, I can't find a problem. I can look around. I cannot find a problem. I can't find an issue. I see that everything is as it is. That's what I see, is that everything as it is. I see that there are things that are more skillful and less skillful from this point of view. I see that there are things still, their preferences. But I don't actually see a problem. I don't see anything that I'm necessarily required to take action on. I just notice whether things are as skillful as they might be. Where they're not, if I simply notice them, in the long term, that brings about change. It just does. See, these units, these are pattern collecting units. That's what they do. That's what that DNA really is. It's a collection of patterns, isn't it? It knows how to do everything. And you know what it doesn't know, it learns, but it knows how to learn. So it arrives here and on this planet with all these patterns in order to help this unit succeed. And this unit births other units. This one didn't, but some do. that most do. Birth other units, they help them along. That's as good as it gets until it gets to be somewhere different, which is where I am now, which is where you are now, which is where most people who will be viewing this are. We're at a higher calling now. And the higher calling is to serve the one thing, but we cannot really genuinely serve the one thing when we are this thing. We just can't. We'll always be coming from this reference point, from the I am the center of the universe reference point. And what I'm suggesting is that we begin to stand as awareness, that experience will then expand. If we pay attention to awareness, we pay attention to spaciousness instead of remaining in our addiction to the objects that are contained within spaciousness. If we pay attention to spaciousness and not its content, I don't want to get too complex. Stand as awareness. Go back, stand as that little light in your head. Stand as the neat little feeling. I think we're fixing to get a cat come across the board. There we go. See that? That cat, he's just doing what he's doing. He's not worried about what he's doing. He's not thinking about what he's doing. He's not, you know, dicing out what he's doing. There's not a lot of chop, 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 chop. There may have been some calculation of when he wanted to jump up on the desk and go across it. But that was really intuitive calculation. It wasn't thinking as we know it. He's not suffering from it. We don't have to either. Even when we wake up, so here's my real thing here, is that if you're awake, if you've woken up and there's oscillation within that awakeness, practice standing as awareness. You will get this thing as you live this thing. We get what we need when we need it. We don't get it ahead of time. So if we expand our borders, begin to live as this thing, more clarity arrives. We're always, every moment of our lives, we're either breathing on the glass or we're wiping the glass. We are awareness anyway, but either the human unit is either breathing on the glass and clouding things up, or it's wiping the glass. And what I'm suggesting is that when we stand as awareness consciously, deliberately, even if we're the unit, even if we feel like we're the unit and I'm practicing standing as awareness and this and that, that's helpful. It's still helpful. I'm just telling you this. Because it's experiential. You're actually having to view the world in a different way, regardless of what ego thinks about. Even if it's ego looking at the world in a different way, it's still being looked at in a different way. That will change things. Pay some attention to attention. Pay some attention to attention itself. So if you've had an awakening experience, this is the way that you clear things up. If you have not had an awakening experience, this is the way that you begin to notice that you're already awake, that you don't actually need an awakening experience. An awakening experience is a lovely story, and I had one, and I know a lot of people that have had one, and one may, some sort of little click or aha or whatever may be required, but there's none of that big stuff is required. That's all just a big myth, you know. I wrote a teacher yesterday that it is my opinion that it is we as teachers who believe that awakening is rare and difficult that make awakening rare and difficult. Because in my practice, in my teaching practice, it ain't rare and it ain't difficult at all. I mean, it's not always easy, but it's usually fairly quick. I mean, it doesn't feel quick to me because I'm a unit over here trying to wake up another unit, so to speak. And it may take an hour or so of very hard work. But I mean, it's not a lifetime of stuff. We don't have to, like, you know, we don't take up great diligent practices. I'm not saying practices are bad. Practices are wonderful after we're awake. They help wipe the glass. I'm not running any school down, nothing like that. I'm talking about what I do. I'm not talking about what anybody else does. So, using this simple tool of standing as awareness now, understand this is not actually a practice to cause awakening. We're not using standing as awareness as a springboard to a later clarity. We're using it as a method of immediate clarity. Let's notice the clarity we have now. What happens is we get a little bit of clarity and then we want a little more. It's just the way of it. It's okay. But what happens is that we will overlook the clarity we have now instead of working with the clarity we have now. And that's not okay. Not if we want it to expand. So we always work from where we are. And if we feel like we're the unit, we use the unit. That's what this teaching does. That's one of the reasons my teaching is as successful as it is that it doesn't try to overcome the unit. It doesn't try to override the unit. It uses the unit. It uses the unit to move beyond the unit, the sense of unitness. I approach everybody. I tell everybody in setup, usually prior to a direct pointing session, you know, you're already awake. We're not here to wake you up. And that's the truth. You're already awake. We're not here to wait, you know. So understanding that we're already awake, that all we're ever doing is wiping our window to greater clarity now, not greater clarity later. So there's no later. There's right now, and we want to be as clear as we can right now, but we're always working from where we are. We're never trying to convince ourselves that we should be feeling another way. We should be seeing other than the way they're seeing. We see the way we're seeing. Right now, that's it. We see it. It should be another way. Where's your evidence for that? I don't think you got any. There's only the way that we're seeing. There's only feeling the way that we feel. So rather than trying to overcome that, rather than trying to minimize that, right, rather than trying to get around that, rather than trying to transform that, rather than trying to transcend that, let's use that. Let's use that to move beyond that. And then when I say move beyond, it's just a manner of speaking. All I'm ever really talking about, we're wiping the window. Let's wipe the window. Wipe the window. So, a less excitable video than I used to do. Hopefully it's equally as clear, maybe more clear. Not as high on the yucks factor. Sorry about that. Come see me at Awakening Clarity. There's a lot going on there. It's free. Good luck on your journey. See you soon.